So were there any special expectations of you? I mean, you know, you were, after all, Winston Morris's son, and you were John Morris's nephew, and it was a big rugby family, and you know how it goes.
Yeah,
was it like that for you?
You were there, and you were playing it, and your dad was always going there. You know, I played a lot of football and rugby as well, and it was a case of he gave me every opportunity. And you know, at one point, up until about the age of 18, I was playing football and rugby together. Mm-hmm. And I'd be on Saturday morning, you'd be playing for the school, sixth form and what have you. Saturday afternoon, you'd be playing for. If I wasn't playing football for York at one point, I'd then play rugby with Lydney. Yeah. And then on a Sunday morning, you'd be doing your Colts rugby. And on a Sunday afternoon, I'd be playing football for Sinford under-18s. You know, so you'd be playing four games on a weekend. And it got to a stage that you thought, I can't carry this on. You know, do I go football, rugby? And, you'd think with Dad and John, rugby was the one they're going to try and push it. But the choice is yours. You know, it's what one you enjoy most. You know?
Mm.
And, in fairness, it was the camaraderie and the friendships with rugby that, at the end of the day, swung me that way. Because, there's nothing I more enjoyed than the social side of, being with your friends and, meeting new people on the rugby side of it. The sad thing with football is you played your game of football. Mm. And then all these lads would come in from Cheltenham, they'd come in from Gloucester and all over the place, play the game of football, and then they all disappeared. And you didn't get that friendship and camaraderie side of things as you had with the rugby side. And with the rugby, there were tours and different things, and thinking, I think that looks a little bit more fun there. And swayed me that way. But it was, it was one of those things. And kids develop at different stages as well. I remember speed and pace. When I was a younger lad, up until about 16, 17, it was long distance. I was a little slight built lad, no weight on me whatsoever. I could run for miles, but weren't necessarily very quick over short distances. And I had a little friend, Andy Baggus, and another lad who said, he always used to beat me hands down on sprints. And then all of a sudden it seemed, over one summer, I seemed to catch him up and overtake him. And it was huge. Obviously I had that growth spurit and what have you. And I developed another gear and a bit of pace, which, whenever somebody plays sport, it's one of those things that pace is a big asset.
So you came to Gloucester in
1990. It was the year after they'd had the cup final against Bath. That happened the year before, and then I came in on the back of the following season. So 1990-91 was my first season.
Yeah, so I knew that was your first season in the first team, but I wasn't quite sure when you actually
joined the club that season. And it was, I had a few spells in the second team at the early part of the season there, just establishing yourself and then what have you. And as I said, because of Richard Boxoff, there was a bit of a void there that you could slip into.
Mm. Yeah, what was your favourite position, wing or centre? At the time?
At the time, centre.
It was centre.
Because you were more in the mix. You were more involved in the game. You were tackling. You got more ball to do things with. I thoroughly enjoyed, then Lydney had played in the centre. And then towards the end, I got put out on the wing the later part when you got a bit of speed. And it was that mentality. Put the quick boy on the end, throw the ball to him, and let him try and run. And
it was more of a decision-making place, position than the wing.
Than the wing in the centre. That's right. You've got to try and look for the gaps, put the fullback in, and
So in a way, you were a centre who became a wing, who became a centre again.
Yes,
effectively during your career.
In my career,
But
it was one of those things that I just liked playing. Thoroughly enjoyed my game. Thoroughly enjoyed my playing. And as long as you're on the field there somewhere, then it was up to you to make the most of it. With rugby and everything else, once the ball, you stand off set plays in your set positions, but once the game starts and goes into open play, you're anywhere then, aren't you? Which you see more so in the game today.
Your first game, I am told by our statistician Chris Collier, was on the 29th of September 1990 against Ebu Vale.
Right.
So that was very early. That was very early, wasn't it? Actually, you got the first team game.
Got games,
in that case.
Yeah.
And you scored a try. Do you remember that?
The ball come on the line and out from you. No, in all fairness, when I was asked to come on, I was sat there thinking, I'm useless with names, I'm useless with dates, am I going to remember anything to say? I remember Ebervale, several fixtures against Ebervale, especially having gone down there in the past, and they were always good, hard games. But no, in all honesty, I'd be making something up if I could say I could remember my first try on my debut. It was
fair enough.
I remember, it's.
But you probably remember what it was like to run out at Kingsholm for the first time team game.
It was a bit of a standing joke with a lot of the lads, Pete Jones and things that when I see him now that. I used to get very nervous before a game. The build up, the adrenaline, and everything else, and. It used to be one of those little things that I couldn't eat. I found on very early on that I couldn't eat anything after 10 o'clock in the morning. If I was playing in the afternoon, anything I ate after 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd revisit just before the match in a bin.
We have heard this story from somebody else, I won't say who.
Yeah, it's not a problem. And I'm sure without a shadow of doubt, I would have gone through that ritual, that we won the first time of that ritual. And it was, I could eat what I liked as long as I ate before 10 o'clock in the morning. Anything after that, I used to get the adrenaline and the buzz of going out, and especially as you say, the King's Room and the Shed. And go out before then, the roar and everything as you come out. I'm 6 foot tall, and back in the day, 11 and a half, 12 stone is all I would have been. A little lightweight lad. You felt 6 foot four and maybe 15 stone, like these modern players. And the thing as well was, back in the day, the shed was full of a lot of blokes from work, and there were your friends, family, and everything else. All people that knew you, and you'd have to face on Monday when you went back to work. So you didn't shy from a tackle. You didn't pull out of anything. You had that, the pride of wearing the cherry and white, and everyone has gone before you, but also that, the people that watched you were friends, families, and you wanted to put a good performance in for them. Otherwise, you'd be ridiculed at the tackle you missed or the ball you dropped. So it was, you had that that passion and pride for that as well.
Damien Cummins and Don Caskey were obviously competing for centre places at that time, I guess.
Yes.
Two pretty good centres as well.
Two cracking players.
Totally
different players.
What's your opinion, those two?
You had Don, who was fearless there, and very elusive runner. He used to run, of his stature and everything else, he used to get down low and almost come out from between people's legs and run through them and find gaps that you wouldn't have thought of ever there. He was like that terrier type of player. Was there and
it took a lot of stopping, didn't it?
Took a lot of stopping, and then Damien very much there, had a good vision and good ball player. He was a utility there, that he could also step into fly half position. He's one there that I saw sell one of the most ridiculous dummies ever I'd seen on a rugby field, where we were playing the Kings and we was up here just in front of, was that the C&G stand there, isn't it? There? Just going up towards there, and he was within the 22, but 10 yards out, and he took the pass. I can't remember for the life of me who we were playing, but he gave this big sweeping arcing motion as if he was going to pass out wide and just followed it all the way around in a big circle, and everything just ran past him. And then he just went straight there under the post, scored a try. And you're sat there thinking, surely nobody fell for that, I'm sure at the time that we must have had I think we had a big overlap outside him, it was in broken play, and come off of a ruck, and I'm still outside on the wing thinking, hey, I'm going to score a try now, I'm going to get a try, hey, this is it, 10 yards out, I can make this, and for some reason the ball never came out, and I'm thinking, you dozy, and then well done, great try, excellent, they were two two very good players, and Damien as well with his cricket. He was a talented cricketer as well, good all-round sportsman.
Yeah.
Yeah.